Hello and welcome to another episode of the Red or Dead podcast. I'm your temporary host for 5 minutes until Suki's Wi-Fi comes back in. Andre Dixon. I'm here with Kassam. I'm here with Ellie. And now we are joined by the actual host, fingers crossed, Suki, who is joining us right about now.
He's back.
There he is.
Here's our host, Suki, who is taking over from my introductory duties right about now.
I'm going to start again.
He's frozen again,
so we're going to continue as we go on.
Someone message him
and just let him know. But anyway, so Suki's going to be joining us when he can. But, so guys, obviously we have had a long week, but we've actually managed to meet up during the week. Well, three of the gang of five have managed to meet up for a Samsung event over the week.
Why are you mentioning
not sponsored in any form of way. There's no monetary value to Samsung Galaxy or Fold or Flip. Anyway,
flip your way.
So Cass, yes. how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Like I said, we met up. It was good to see everyone. I think the whole week was quite of a downer though, which we will discuss about why. But apart from that, yeah, it was all right. I think the chat about the game and about Liverpool has been kicking off though. I think a lot of people are eating a lot of humble pie at the moment. They're going to have a lot of grovelling to do. And that's just Klopp who started to grovel and apologise for his stuff, let alone everyone else. But yeah, there's so much to talk about with Liverpool that I'll let you guys get the other stuff out of the way first, because then you're going to get a beat down. You nearly cracked last week. This week, 100%.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You will be crying. Ellie, what are you doing in London? I hear you're down as well.
Cass has already started off and he already got humble during the week.
We've got a lot of fat to chew this week. But I'm in London for a couple of days, just catching up on a bit of work. As my youngest is getting married on Monday, so...
Your youngest?
Yeah. So she's getting married on Monday. So
your sister, not your youngest.
My younger sister, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you do normally have to say the name or the relationship.
Did I not say sister?
No, you just said the youngest.
You said youngest.
Which usually means your youngest child, but yeah, we get it. It's your younger sister, yes.
All right. She's getting married on Monday, yeah. So
congratulations to her.
Yeah, thank you to her and stuff. So yeah, so I'm down here to escape the carnage up north and catch a bit of work as well. But unfortunately, I didn't make it to the Samsung party because I had other duties to attend to, but eventually...
Don't worry, I heard they're doing a BlackBerry event soon, which is going to be held in a... It's going to be held in a town hall. You have to pay for your own drink. And it's Happy Shopper Cola for anyone who wants to attend.
Happy Shopper!
There's nothing wrong with Happy Shopper.
Get in there.
Respect to the real ones.
Little broken biscuits as the kind of phase. You'll be all right. Don't worry, mate.
Yeah,
I'm a bit disappointed, Ellie, actually. He doesn't tell anybody when he comes. The rest was all catch up and Ellie's there just chilling.
He's a very busy man. And when he comes into London, it's all about
West London.
But you know what? Let's put in the air that during the Christmas period, we will all have a party together for the first time in several years.
That's five months away. What is that all about? We've got to do something before that, surely.
We need that long to plan. Well, I need that long to plan.
Yeah. You know his schedule, so we have to plan way ahead for that epic night. So Christmas party plans are underway right about now.
Or another trip abroad, if we can all get
World Cup.
The same one.
World Cup party. We'll have a World Cup meet.
Ooh, I could do a World Cup viewing, or we could go Qatar, one or the other.
Unless you guys got some type of hookup, so that ain't happening in any form of way.
I have got the Qatar hookup actually, but we'll see if we can get tickets. Well, no,
Heineken. I tell you that much right now.
Heineken ain't doing that.
They're not getting out of there.
I'll speak on behalf of them. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Suki, yeah, just before you take over the reins of being the host with the most, how was your week?
He's frozen again.
No, he's back.
He's back.
Come on, Suki, you're back. Don't worry. You're
Suki,
on.
Suki, how was your week?
My week's been good. Got to see you boys, which is good. Chilled. Had a nice quiet one yesterday, hoping to do the podcast, but Dre, you're too busy these days.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys. The schedule's been stupid, ridiculous. NFL season is coming thick and fast. So, you know, my joint love of NFL has actually hampered my love for Liverpool. But, you know, it's actually good timing because, you know, the closest I can leave it to the actual game, the better it feels me talking about Liverpool. Because the pain runs deep at the moment, honestly. Yeah.
It's the hope that kills you is the same.
It is the hope. Dre was a bit drunk on Thursday, actually. It's
quite a bit. Damn right. What the hell?
I needed to get drunk. I'll tell you. I was also drunk on Monday night.
That wasn't even from that night. That was still from Monday.
Let me just make a public announcement, all right?
Public apology.
Absolutely no way. Let me make a public announcement, right? To all those Arsenal fans and Man United fans who've been peppering my phone, just remember, the Empire will strike back. And
there's
I promise you, there's no Empire.
And we, to be fair, we did meet the Arsenal fans that annoy Dre on Thursday. I sort of understand where Dre's coming from.
The Empire will strike back. That, you know, I will have my revenge, and it will be long for the rest of the season. I promise you that.
The rest of the season. You've got a long wait for anything to turn around. Suki, why don't you tell us why this week we shouldn't be crowing about anything after Monday night?
No, come on. Let's go Monday. It wasn't a good night, was it? It was a bit of a nightmare. Where do I start? I'm actually at a friend's place now, who's a big United fan, and he's got a dog who's called Fergie as well.
The fact that you're staying in a Man United fan's house, that is treachery to the highest level. Treason.
The one thing Wi-Fi's not working, it's sabotage.
I know, it really is. I did invite him to come on, but he's like, no. too busy enjoying himself.
They're still scared, man. They know the truth.
They do know the truth. No, it's a nightmare. Let me ask Ellie, actually. Ellie, what were your thoughts? Who was good? Who was bad?
The result was 2-1. Let's just start with that. We lost 2-1.
All right. I'll start from the very beginning. When I saw that lineup come up. When I saw that lineup, I was shook. That's what I mean. Even Maria's like, El, where's the... I miss the old Delhi because I'm Mr. Optimistic. And even I couldn't see any hope in that lineup. I was looking on the bench. I saw two keepers. I saw three kids, except Vandenberg, Bajatic, some Harvey something. And then I saw a Fabinho on the bench, a place he should never be, especially with the condition of our squad right now.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah. I mean,
who wasn't on the bench? Who wasn't on the bench, Ellie?
This was new territory for us, actually, because I've never seen Ellie so down in my life. It was
I'll tell you why he was down.
It was really eerie. It's like, I'm sorry, is Cass like taking over Ellie?
No, he knows. He knows. He knows. He's gonna say it now, Ellie. Who wasn't on the bench?
No, there's a certain character that was when I was last week and I was saying we're going to dance over Old Trafford again, it's party time, and it was all that. There's a certain character I was expecting to be involved, a young, talented Guinean football, Guineaista, they call him in certain parts of the world. He twinkled toes, magician. His name is.
Where was Preppy Cater?
Well, I don't believe he's injured. I'll tell you that much right now. I think they're still trying to sell him. Or they're trying to persuade him to stay. I think he wanted to go, so he didn't want to get hurt. And then he was trying to force a move out. A little bit Coutinho style.
Well, that's outrageous. That's disgraceful for a player to try and force the club into a situation like that where he can't be played. That's embarrassing. I'll be appalled. Attitude problems. Attitude problems.
The way he's been treated by the fans, I'm not surprised. I mean, let's just be real now. Even after what summed it up for me, how hard it is for the guy. And even after the game on Monday, where we were dire and our midfield was the worst thing I've ever seen, the most digs I saw afterwards was get Naby out.
Yeah.
He didn't even play. In fact, the last time he played was we played at Old Trafford. We won 5-0 and he's...
Yeah, but why hasn't he played? How much of that is down to...
I think this is why he needs to go so these scapegoat fans can stop.
No, I'm not scapegoating.
I'm with Ellie on this. I'm with Ellie.
He's hogging up space.
Once again, let's talk about the game first of all, and then we're going to go into the transfer.
But this is the game. This is the game. This is the game. And it ties in the one point you were right about, Ellie, is the midfield. That is just a massive hole. And it is embarrassing that we put out that midfield and that we had that bench in midfield and that we haven't reinforced it. We're going to talk about the reinforcement situations, but I will 100% agree with you that that midfield was embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest now and be really, really honest. I changed my prediction. I asked Suki if I could change. As soon as I saw the line, I was like, Suki, can I change the prediction? You know, straight away. Because I was thinking, I'm one of the most optimistic guys, right? But when I saw that midfield, I thought, we're dead. I don't know about anyone else, but I just couldn't see how that midfield.
I knew all along, to be fair.
3-1,
yeah, you went down from 5-0 to 3-1. That's not exactly...
I'm always going to back my team, though. No, I'm always going to back my team. I'm never going to say we're going to lose against United. I'm sorry. I never. Even back in the day, I was predicting us to win when we were getting beat, man. You know, in those days, I was predicting us to smash them and stuff. I'm never going to predict us to lose.
But you were hoping. You were hoping. You weren't accurately predicting. You weren't deep down. You weren't predicting.
I was hoping.
I still felt that even though I saw that lineup with the bench, I still felt that we could have beaten them. There was literally nothing that I saw that when we lined up before the kickoff that made me worried. But it's just as soon as we started, it's almost like these guys. No, as soon as these guys start, I mean, maybe, you know, it is underestimating their opponent because obviously they are not in the best place at the moment. And then they just seem disjointed. And then obviously they've had two little clubs beat the hell out of them. And then obviously we've got a better team, you know, than those teams anyway.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
no,
on paper. But there's no paper. You know, this one here, might as well just put on a Man United shirt because he was gleeful when all the goals were in.
Do you know what the worst thing is? Man United are not a good team. They didn't play particularly well. They haven't played well that season. But therefore, we're worse than that. That's telling you everything you need to know. We are worse than that.
Right now, so what I'll say is that there's a problem where, A, it looks like teams have figured us out, you know, at the moment. B, that it looks like the attitude of the team, and it could be, we could be completely misreading this, but it looks like the guys have either A, tired and just haven't recovered from last season's exploits, or they just really just feel that they could just rock up and just, just take 3 points. And I just feel like from Fulham, it hasn't looked right.
Let me ask you a question, Ray. What did you think of Milner starting over the likes of Fabinho? What did you make of that?
This is the things that I don't understand. It's like, I think Klopp and I understand it because obviously our situation with the injuries, that's over-precautious. Where, you know, I'd rather take off Fabinho earlier and see if he's struggling, rather than just start him late. I just feel that Milner right now, and I'm not knocking him in any form of way, he's been a great service, but Milner is the last 10 minutes of a game when you want to close it out. You shouldn't be starting any form of game because he just looked like he was all over the place. We look like a pub team that has got one player that is supposed to be playing left midfield and then he ends up in right back, you know, right midfield, left back.
I think he's attacking at some point.
So it's just like, yeah, and then it's like, what the hell is going on? So there's a serious problem, and I understand it's a little bit of patience has to come into it because obviously I think that obviously when we get some of the guys back, obviously some things will settle down and form fingers crossed will return. But we do need reinforcements, and that was a very much apparent even to Klopp on Monday.
Even Klopp has now said that he made a mistake. But Dre, you won't say it. You will admit now that we need a midfielder.
Yeah. I said this already. I don't know how many times I have to keep saying this.
That's not the narrative.
Say that. He said we could still cope. He said if people come back, we'll be fine. I'm saying even if they come back, they're guaranteed to break down again. I'm not relying on Thiago to come back and not get injured. I'm definitely not doing that. I'm not relying on Curtis Jones to come in and save the day. That's not good enough.
And I've said this several times, but I definitely feel that with the team actually... Yeah, we've only had this block of a certain area of our team, like in defence, last time, just completely out, and now it seems like what is it, 2020's, you know, injuries in defence has now moved into midfield. And so it's unusual for you to have so many midfielders out at the same time.
It's not for our team, though. It's not. These same people injured are the people that get injured constantly. It's right. Just that
Thiago's not back until, I think they said he starts training in a couple of weeks' time.
But normally what would happen, and what's happened previously, is that you have one player who's injured, someone can step in. But now you've got him, Naby, and Ox injured all at the same time. So, and I know they're injury prone, but there's never been a time that it's all crossed at the same time.
But Curtis Jones is in that mix as well, even though you don't like him. Curtis Jones is ahead of Ox in the pecking order. So that's four basically out. So there's just too many. There's just too many. And you can't rely on these players. So, yeah, I mean, Klopp just this morning, I haven't read the statement in full, but I think he basically said, "You all of you who were saying we need a midfielder, you were right. Thank you very much." Finally, he's admitted it. I said that straight away. And now he's saying that he's going to go in the market, but it's too late. It's too late. There's no.
I refuse to believe that Klopp is going to make some announcement that is like, now we're going to go into the market. I think that there's a deal that's already done. They're just sorting it out. The fee, the actual figure has been agreed. We are one of the best clubs in the world sorting that out.
I think Klopp will have people in mind. I think they're now going to pay more than what they would have.
They have to. We're not going to pay.
When it comes to, I'm not disagreeing about the figures. Who cares? That's not in our control. But what is that? There's no way in hell. I know we're skipping past the game and Virgil bloody putting his hand behind his back rather than diving in like he should. And
I'm going to come back to that. He needs to sort that out.
But I think that there's no way in hell that our club, with the transfer record that we have and the actual sniper-like precision that we've been having when it comes to transfers, that we're suddenly going to start looking for people now.
This is a new regime. The old guy's gone. We don't know.
Julian Ward has been very good so far. I can't believe that. And he's still got the same team.
You said you could play about sick notes. He signed one. There's a guy who signed for Aberdeen. He ain't kicked the ball yet, bro. So don't give me about good records so far.
That's what I'm saying.
Why can't you? Listen, Naby was fit when he arrived.
Don't turn it into that.
Please don't make it about Naby in any form of way. I've been trying to be fair to Naby, but now I'm just going to make this public announcement again. Enough is enough. He has to go.
Let me ask you a non-Naby question just relating to what we were talking about. I think you missed a bit of that. So Dre says that we've definitely got a midfielder lined up based on Klopp saying that he made a mistake and that we need one. A, do you think he's telling the truth that we've got someone lined up and that there is a midfielder who's already signed? And B, who do you think that is?
Hey, I think it's another Diaz situation where they didn't really want to do anything and they really, really didn't want to do something. And so they're going to end up paying over the odds for someone now that they didn't want to. But they realize they have no choice.
It'll still be a player they want to eventually get.
Or at least thought they could get. Like, as in someone that they think would fit into our style. It won't be someone that they'll never sign anyone who they don't think will work for sure.
I think Klopp would rather not buy anybody and leave them in the situation now than have somebody that wouldn't fit into that. I genuinely believe that.
Exactly. And I think who I think it is, I actually think. You know what? This is the hardest one because
I don't know who it is.
You know who's a very Liverpool player, but I just think it's so ridiculous. I mean, because it's unlike us. But Frankie de Jong is very Liverpool player, though. You know, and he the style of play and everything. I'm dreaming with that. But then at the same time, our midfield hasn't had a stellar signing since.
Milner.
I don't want to say the name.
He's not. You can't rely on that.
I mean, big money signing. You haven't spent like that kind of money in midfield since him. And that's a while. That's like 4 or 5 years ago. So would you like spending big money in our midfield?
Because remember, we have been doing that.
We bought Ox for like 40 odd million and he was meant to be a midfielder. We signed Naby and then we signed Fabinho for 40 odd million. So that for us was at that time was like a big spending midfield change. And I think we're kind of due a new batch. So even if Bellingham was coming, someone like De Jong would always be a good player to play alongside.
We definitely need two, so I don't think getting in someone now.
We're not going to get Bellingham if we get Bellingham until next summer. Cass, let me ask you, why has Klopp got this wrong?
Well, because he didn't have the force. He's relied on too many of his favourites. I think we've said that is an issue. He's overspent on people who are sick. Now, I mean, that example Ellie gave, that summer when, or that period when we got Ox, Fabinho and Naby, two of those have flat out been failures. Just too injured, not good enough. They've never played consistently for us. So, and if that was your plan for the midfield, you have to early on recognise that it hasn't worked. Only one of those has worked. I need two more. That's just obvious. That's basic maths there. Like,
why has Klopp not seen this when it's obvious to every fan?
I mean, he's got a blind spot. I do slightly believe him in his defense that the owners are not as spendthrift or as they should be. They're not as generous with their money as they should be, because we won the league in that period. We finished second. We won the Champions League. We finished second in the Champions League. There's a lot of money sloshing about that has not been released to him. And he should have, ultimately he's the guy with the money in his hands, or he's the guy who makes the decision. So he should have gone out more forcefully if they weren't giving him money. But it's a combination of the two things, mainly on him. I have to say,
why do you feel that it's not a collective decision? Because at the end of the day, is that Klopp is not a stupid person. He's not a guy who just talks, you know, without thinking. He's very calculated. He understands what he's doing. So therefore, if he truly believes that he could get through a season with, like, the let's just wait, let's not panic. I want, and if I can't get exactly what I want, I would rather stick with what I've got rather than just panic buy. He said several times, as he's just apologised for, you know, that he doesn't need any more. That's his decision too.
But what people do is skirt past him and then go into FSG again.
I said it's mainly on him. Mainly on him. But there is, because you're saying that it's a collective decision. So therefore, it's part of the collective as well. Mainly on him. But the collective also has to take some responsibility, because if six out of seven people turn on him and say, we absolutely need, like, he's got people, he's got scouts out there.
But who's going to do that? You see my point? Like, that's what, yeah, go on.
You expect managers to do that.
But say for a normal company, right? You have your CEO, and then the marketing team asks that we need to do more activities, right?
He's not bored of you, okay, cool.
So basically, if the marketing guy might want to spend more, but then he goes to the CEO and the CEO's like, no, we ain't got that. You got to make it work. He's like, so the marketing guy ain't going to go to the world saying, sorry, the CEO ain't going to give you more money. We can't do what we want to do. He's going to say, yeah, look, you know what? We're happy what we got. He's going to sell the story he has to sell. And I think that's what,
I might interrupt you. Go on.
I'm saying if Klopp kicked off enough of a stink, I still think he would have got some. I do definitely think that.
But that's what I'm saying. What we're doing is, I apologize for something I've just done in 2 seconds again. Interrupt you. But the thing is that what I don't get, and I just need you to explain this to me, is that if you feel that you don't need any extra players, then that's like what he feels. That's what he's done. Yeah, that's what his track record is. None of us know what the dynamic is, whether he's gone and asked, which I can't believe that Klopp would stick around in a situation where he literally got credit in the bank to be able to just walk away right now and say, listen, guys, I know I said I was going to do so many more seasons. I can't do it. I can't work under these regimes. I can't work under these conditions. I need more players. I'm going to go because it's just not going to work, right? He could do that at any time. Why would you stick around and cover for people that if they're not giving you what you want to be successful? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, going back to that marketing department, like if you rate yourself, you can say I can work wonders with pretty much nothing.
Arrogance.
Yeah, but exactly. I think Klopp genuinely thinks that you could give him like the kids and he could potentially still win something. And I think he genuinely believes that as well. But I think this time, I think what we're seeing, and this is why I'm excited about what the news we've heard recently, is because this is the first time I've seen this, the admission that, hold up, we can't do it that way anymore. Like, for years, even though
he did this before in 2020, though, bro.
No, he didn't. He didn't sign anyone.
No, he did. He was saying we don't need any extra when we won the league. He said we don't need it. We don't need it. And then we had all the defenders out, and it was like pretty much like you can't deny it now. We need more defenders.
Yeah, but then I don't understand. But wait, here's what I don't understand. Then, especially in your case, Trey, why were you so positive then at the start of the season? You've got as much blame as him. You believed him. You believed we had enough. He said we had enough, right. And you believed we had enough. So if he can't see it, you can't see it either.
No, Dre just wasn't expecting injuries. If we had Canate,
but then that's even worse. Not expecting injuries from those players is even worse.
Yeah, but the story is, as I said before, is that there's never been a time, as much as we've been frustrated sometimes with people being injured, there's always been maybe if one player's injured, if Thiago's injured, then someone else is, then Keita comes in. So there's never been a time that everyone's been injured at the same time, in midfield in particular. I know we should have learned.
The thing is, it's not just the injuries in midfield. It's also at the end of last season, we saw how tired and looking past it Henderson was. Right. We saw how tired and past it Milner was. So you have to factor all these things in. You can't just live in that bubble where you say, oh, injuries are the only thing that will impact. No, there's players aging out. There's players out of form. You have
Klopp
to factor
has loyalty.
That in.
We know that. Klopp has loyalty where he...
Yeah, but that's too much loyalty. But then so do some of the fans. Again, I think it's all good and well saying, well, Ox will come back one day and he'll do it for us. If you take loyalty out of it, he's not going to do it. He's Ox never going to do it for us. He needs to
I think there comes a lot of hope when, as I said before, when you've seen, so let's say, for example, with Naby, with Ox, they've never always been injured at the same time. It's always been one person's preempted. So that's what's pretty much been able to mask some of the stuff that's happened. Because at the end of the day is that if one's injured, two are coming back. You know, you've always got someone to be able to take over the mantle. Now, whether they're as good as the other person, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day is that what we had last year is that we've had people come out, but we kept on winning. And we went on an amazing run. So that's the problem, is that the success masks some of the problems.
Well. Don't forget the charity cup was only 3 weeks ago and we played really well.
Yeah, but that was misleading as well, because I hear people say about that, say, oh, we beat Man City, so we're going to be set for the season. And they want to take it on one game, but they don't want to take it on three games where we've massively underperformed. If you're going to listen to one game and use that as a reason for optimism, then you absolutely have to take three games into account.
Yeah, but we lost a massive...
It's not the one game, though. It's the season before. It's the one game.
Yeah, but we've lost one massive part of the club's history of you know, the team, which is Mane. Like, you have to, it doesn't matter, like, and all of us collectively at some point. And Nunes is bedding in. It's like Nunes is a new type of player that we haven't had before. And so you can see that they're not used to playing with him already, because they keep on swinging in crosses like he's a, you know, Niall Quinn or something like that. And it's
okay,
like,
okay,
yeah,
one more,
you know,
optimistic, get back. Optimistic, I'm going to be back. Okay, cool, right, I'm back. Optimistic.
Is this permanent or is this a temporary visit?
Before we get to the defence and Bobby, I just want to, did you see any good things coming out of that midfield? There are two youngsters that played against United.
Oh, okay.
I told you a lot about this, and I'm claiming this.
I'm going to let Gray go.
I told you this, and you
Wait,
guys...
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, who Carvalho. Are you talking about?
Carvalho.
No.
Carvalho, and
Carvalho.
I said that...
Carvalho.
I said the Carvalho, and then I said that... Elliot.
You can't even remember
which one. Elliot is back.
Elliot ain't ready. You're wrong on Elliot.
How is he not ready?
Elliot ain't ready. Elliot's
He's been ready. The best player over the last three games.
I agree performance-wise, but contributions, goals, zero. Contributions, assists, zero. That's what we need.
Well, no one's been doing anything.
Huh?
No one's been doing anything.
Salah's... Oh,
yes,
okay,
I, yeah,
okay.
But Carvalho hasn't started. He hasn't got the same amount of minutes as Elliot. In the amount of minutes that he's got compared to the amount of minutes of Elliot's, I've been far more impressed by Carvalho.
They're both good, though. I rate them both. Yeah. I'm not going to even pick sides on this.
But you can't play both, for starters. You can't play both. It has to be.
And Harvey set up one of the goals for Salah as well. He put a pass through one of the goals for Salah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the pre-assist. But that was a good one. Yeah, that was a pre-assist, to be fair. You're right.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you off the back of that, then. Who would you start? Oh, no, we're not talking about that yet. Let's just talk about the Man United game. So the team formation also had Gomez in there. He came into defence. How did you think he performed against Man United?
We need to talk about the whole defense in general. VVD.
I mean, the whole. We've spoken about the other three quite a lot. They're not. They're not performing well.
Robertson is. Robertson is very much out of form. Trent is out of form. 100%. You know, yeah. and then Gomez is rusty. He's coming back. Yeah. And also Van Dijk, most importantly and most worryingly, is out of form. I think that there's something that's happened to him, like confidence wise. There's something that's not completely right. He might be tired or burnt out from all last season. Whatever it is, like our defense is not our normal defense. However, what I do believe is that, but this is the problem. We don't know when he's coming back. When Konate comes back, then that guy is levels above everyone else.
I think that's another month, Trey.
Yeah, that's at least another month. One month, apparently. Yeah. And also, he only fixes the middle part. And he might slightly improve Trent and Robertson, but they individually, regardless of who's playing in the middle, have to do better. They're not doing good enough. And we rely so much on those positions that is a worry. And the backup on the bench is not good enough. Like, one of them's injured, Ramsey. He's just not started yet. And, I mean, Tsimikas... He didn't do anything good or bad in this game, to be honest.
He's been injured as well, though.
He's been injured as well. Everyone's just coming back. I remember this team, and I know you're not sympathetic to this, Cass, but this team went on a proper run. We played every available game that there was to play last season. It's going to have an effect. And you've got a shortened window, summer window, where you to be able to recuperate. It's going to have effect. Like, these people,
but that's another factor. That's just adding more fuel to the fire of saying that we had to sign a midfielder and that we should have had the foresight.
That's wrong, though.
You're adding more reasons as to why A. Klopp was wrong.
Okay. What I was going to say very quickly about this defense thing, in defense of defense, I will say that one of the main reasons they're suffering is because they're getting no help from the midfield.
Exactly.
Like, or in the second half, when Fabinho came on and he screened them, it was infinitely better.
He struggles because he hasn't got two people up front to help him out too.
Exactly. It's like the midfield is like literally the glue that holds the team together, or doesn't at the moment. So at the moment, everything's wrong because of the Trent struggling because he ain't getting covered coming back. So like, even when Trent goes forward, he can't really go forward as much in the way he used to because he ain't getting covered the other way.
Yeah,
Elliot's fantastic going forward, but he's not very good defense. So when Elliot plays, Trent can't go up like that because he knows he can't get the cover going the other way. You know, so it's all round the whole team.
But Ellie, there is a problem. The one I don't like slacking off Trent at all because I think he's a unique defender. I don't think he's any defender that we've had in the UK. In the past, there's been like players like Cafu and people like that who just be able to go forward and Roberto Carlos and people like that who've been able to just be part of the attack. I think that where he's missing Henderson, like at his prime. Henderson covers the right hand side. He always has. You know, whenever Trent goes forward. Please don't mention it.
I'm not going to mention it, but I'm just saying that worked well.
If he played, then that would be great. But at the end of the day, if he's just sitting there watching it just like me, then he's just as useless as I am. But the problem is that with Trent, and where I am going to criticise Trent, is that this whole Red Arrows thing that he's doing, where he's like, he's not just like bombing up and down the right wing, he's like going inside. So he's like in the middle, alongside, Carvalho at one point. He was on the left-hand side. So what the hell is going on?
I think he moved at the end of the game, to be fair.
No, but what he's doing is that, and we was lauding this, and I'm guilty as well, where he's able to, because everyone's been saying, he should be playing in the midfield. So he effectively, because he had the cover of Fabinho and Hendo, is able to be able to cut in and shoot an attack from the midfield, centre midfield as well. Because you've got to remember that that's his original position. When he was in the youth team, he played as a midfielder. He never played as a right back. He was a midfielder. Yeah. So therefore, like, that switched on for the last few games. And I think we just need to go back to basics and actually just defend and cover your position, not bombing, cutting on the left-hand side, trying to score goals.
In fairness to Trent, though, none of the goals that Man U were his fault, actually. I was more upset with his contribution the other way.
He's delivery was awful. I agree with Ellie.
Yeah, but I mean, he had very little to work with up front as well. We've got to spread the blame around a bit. Bobby was really poor, didn't do much, wasn't moving around, wasn't really making many movements that were helping them. Diaz, having scored that goal last week, didn't really do that much this time around for me.
He looked like he was done.
Salah, again, didn't have a great game, but he did get the goal. That's kind of what he's in there for. He's got a... If he's not going to play well, get a goal, and we can't.
He plays far too wide.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play well. I'm not saying he played well, but
everyone is doing stuff that they normally don't do. Salah has always been a person who cuts in and is in the middle as the person who's going to tap in or score any type of goal. He hasn't been doing that because he's been playing far wide because of Nunes. We have to get back to either A, switch the just while we've got this problem. Switch the formation so there's more cover in the middle, or the people just have to start Salah in the middle because in the end of the day we have a serious problem and we need to get a result. So I'll be shocked if I'm seeing a 4-3-3 today.
You will see a 4-3-3.
Let me ask you about VVD and the defending for that first goal. What were your thoughts?
Actually, there was another little issue throughout the game where Milner and Virg were sniping at one another throughout the whole game. I don't know what that was about, but it felt like it stemmed from that incident where neither of them closed down. I can't even remember who scored the first goal for them, but who was it? I'd say Sancho, yeah. Neither of them closed down. And Virg just did a typically un-Virg-like move where he... The hands behind the back is just a thing that all defenders do now. I'm not so worried about that, but not going out to close him and letting him take a clean shot on goal, that is a problem. That you can't be doing that. Maybe he was expecting the midfielders to do a bit more, and when we had like proper midfielders in front or screening midfielders, that would be something you could rely on. But yeah, that wasn't... He's just been off form, or he's just been... that whole thing of Milner and Virg arguing throughout the whole game as well, it just didn't feel... right. It just felt like there's something going on behind the scenes that no one is happy about, which I don't know what that is.
There just wasn't something right with the body language, and I know Milner's trying to step up here, but I just don't think that was helpful in the situation. I don't think
this is the thing. I think Virg should be the captain now. Just take it off Henderson, give it to Virg.
I don't think so.
Well, who would you have a captain then? Henderson's not going to play enough games.
Yeah, but he's not showing me at the moment that, you know, obviously I just think we just stick with what we've got at the moment. At the end of the day is that Virg, from what I've been seeing, there's something not right. And I don't think it's a physical thing. I think that it's maybe mental tiredness or something like that. But you are there to lead that defence, you know, defensive midfield. For you to be like so casual, it doesn't sit right with me. And then that's why, you know, Milner had to rass him up the other day, because the end of the day is that, what are you doing? Put your hand behind your back. You know, do you want to make it any easier for him to score?
I agree with Cass. The hands behind the back wasn't the issue. That's a normal thing. He's trying to avoid the red card. But you just can't stay standing still there when Sancho had like five.
Yeah, but you charge at that person. So if you've seen Milner go to the left-hand side, my normal reaction would be like, I'm going to charge in. So, you know, Virgil's done more than enough good things to have credit in the bank with us. He's not in the best of form. The whole team's not as good, best of form. And the thing is that we work as a collective. There can't be some people playing well. Like Salah's still been doing his job. Other people are not. The whole defence at the moment is in bad form. So therefore, we just, fingers crossed, has to click in and start again. And people start playing their positions.
Can I defend BVD, please, mate? Can I defend him? Because everyone's hounding him, but I want to defend him on this one. Because I've heard it said that keepers don't like it when players are moving across their line of sight, right? So Milner did dive, but because he dived in, Sancho stood him up, right? And then he could just pick a corner, right? So if Virgil had dived out, what's to say that he couldn't have just done the same thing? I mean, or penalty.
I'd rather that happen. I'd rather that happen. I'd rather him get twist up. Like twice, and that would be an amazing goal rather than just standing there and leaving a whole side.
No, but it was hardly a side because, well, a very good point a lot of people made is like Bruno Fernandes was there, he had a pass on, so there was no guarantee he could just slide it through to Bruno.
But that didn't happen. But in that decision that he had, that's the equivalent of Alisson, you know, someone being through on goal and Alisson just standing on his line. You have the whole gold to be able to choose from. If I come and close you down, you haven't got time to think.
All right. Yeah, no, but my point is that because you have Alisson in goal, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to, because when you're moving and the ball's shot, you can block the line of sight of the keeper to line of sight. When he stands still, he gets a clear view of the ball. So when it's hit, he knows where to go.
He's not thinking that, bro. He's not thinking that.
I agree with what you're saying, Ellie, but you have to close it down a little bit. I think there's a balance.
It's a happy medium. I mean, it's a split-second decision. Look, I understand both teams' report. I'm just saying, but Virgil's getting hammered here, right?
And no,
I'm just giving a little bit of doubt. That's all I'm saying, generally.
It's
three games now, and Virgil's made three mistakes. He got turned by Mitrovic first game. Second game, he could have closed Zaha, but he didn't. I can understand that one, actually, because it was an unbelievable shot from Zaha to score, so he's playing the chances. And actually, most of the time, that's worked for Virgil. I genuinely think he made a mistake.
Every time he's been a mistake before, though, have you noticed?
Yeah, but he's doing it on his own.
In Fulham game,
it was the body language.
In the Fulham game, Hendo didn't take out Mitrovic. That was the first one. In the Palace game,
it was Matip's stupid pass in the first place.
And that Phillips didn't stop. Two things in that one, right? And in this game, Milner dived in, and there's a few...
I think Milner's... First dive was what actually really cost us a defence. There's no need to dive like that straight away.
I don't agree with that. Like, that's Milner's job.
Milner
at least gave him an opportunity for the other defender to come and take him out. The problem is this. Virgil has been used to playing with Konate for majority of the season. Konate would have stopped that. I truly believe. I don't think that whole result would happen. And also the Palace one, if Konate was there. Because you have that man, guards, pace, blocks, everything. He blocks up the right side. So therefore, him, Fabinho, can actually, you know, take care of any threat that's coming from the left-hand side easily. And I think that what's happened is that you've got that. That's a big hole. And I said to you guys already that Konate definitely is, like, you know, if anything, right now, as good as Virgil. Like, he's a very good defender.
I'm with Cass where I really like Gomez. But I think with Gomez, he needs games to get in. I think Gomez
is nowhere near the same league as Konate. No, nowhere near.
Gomez, if he plays five games straight, will be as good as Konate.
I'll see it. But I'm sorry. Konate has come in and he's fast, strong. He knows the position because he can play right back
He didn't start that well when he came in. Konate didn't start that well in the first couple of games.
I agree with Dre, though, because Konate is good in the air, but Gomez isn't that great in the air.
Exactly.
People want to target Gomez in the air, but Konate does everything Gomez does, and he's good in the air.
So he pushes forward as well, and he presses forward. How many times have you seen him win a ball in the midfield? He's a massive miss. But that's what I'm saying, is that what happens is that we're looking at players that are missing. So if who's a midfielder for City? I forgot his name.
De Bruyne, Gundogan,
Rodri. Take Rodri out of that team, then we'll see. Like, you'll see the massive hole that makes England, a difference.
Euros finalist, mate. That's who they got on the bench.
Yeah.
So who?
Calvin Phillips.
Yeah, they've got Phillips on the bench.
Well, yeah, all right.
Oil
money. I can't compete.
Yeah, but you shouldn't bring City into.
Wait, let's not. If
Rodri is out, hang on.
Calvin Phillips is nowhere near the same league as Rodri.
If Rodri is out now, if Rodri gets a season long injury now, they go out and they buy a midfielder straight away. No conversation.
Yeah, but will you go and support one of those teams then? Because we're not there.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Don't mention City as an example.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't mention that. We have a team. We have owners, and I'm fine with this. I'm fine with us having a budget. Like, I've made peace with
but
that.
But are you fine? Okay.
But let me finish my point. What I'm not fine with is there not being forward planning. Okay. That's what I'm not fine with.
But you're fine with us having a budget. My question is, are you fine with us having a budget that is less than Nottingham Forest, that is less than Fulham?
You don't know that.
Less than...
You don't know that. What we know is... If we go and buy De Jong, then what happens then?
But we still be less than Nottingham Forest.
Or if we go and buy Bellingham, What happens?
No, come on,
I guarantee you,
can't
we won't buy Bellingham. I can guarantee you, we won't buy Bellingham.
6 years.
No, no, yeah. I agree. But what I'm saying is that I go by the end result, and I don't care how we get there. Whether we, you know, I don't want our team going bankrupt. But what I do care about is the results. The results have been there. We've been competitive. The only team that's competing against City for the last few years.
Let me ask you this. So one thing that really annoys me, actually, that comes out of the news media is everybody bangs on, and you've just referred to it then as well, actually. Everybody refers to our transfer policy being so good and our business doing well. And actually, my counter to that would be, actually, we haven't won enough trophies for how good our team has been.
I agree.
And actually, agree. If we had, and you can't argue we've had a less budget than some of the mid-club tables. That's not.
Well, how do you know that?
We've only spent the last 5 years.
Come on, man.
Come on, yeah.
No, that's fine, but that doesn't convert to trophies automatically.
No, but let me ask you this question. We talk about how good our transfer policy is. Had we spent a bit more, would we have been competing with City a bit more? Would we have more than one Premier League title? Would we have more than one Champions League?
Who knows,
title?
Bro? Who knows? Like you know what? No matter how much money. No, but I don't think you can say A equals B, because at the end of the day is that
you've literally just said it about City.
But no. What I'm saying is that they've got a different manager than we've got. Like our manager is caring too much of our players, where Pep does not. Pep is like, do your job. Okay, right, you're not doing it, come off. I'll buy another one. And then you can sit on the bench for the season. We're not that.
Okay, let me put it in a different way, right? There's one thing not buying, but why are we selling them? That's my problem as well, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
If we're not going to buy, don't sell.
Right. Yeah.
Just don't sell certain players. Don't sell the ones that actually deliver. You know, I actually agree about the whole Signal thing.
Who are you talking about? Who Mane are you talking about?
Well, no. Okay.
Well, he's one, but why sell?
Who's delivering that they've lost?
Minamino. There's no need to let both.
Right. Okay. Let's go for it. Minamino wanted to leave because he's not getting enough game time.
He's watching with the fans.
But that's all fine, Dre. That's all fine. But then you have to replace them. If they go, you have to replace them. There's no conversation about it.
But then that's down. But then that's that. There is down to Klopp is the person who manages that situation with the players. I don't think you can keep on. I think what is that? You guys love, and I do as well, Klopp so much that you are. You know, you're willing to just like skip past his
I'm not a Klopp loyalist.
The flaws.
Dre, all I'm saying is that, right, we only sign the right player. It takes a certain type of player to pay for Liverpool. We know that. If we got them and they're bedded in, don't get rid of them so easily. At least keep, you know, but look, at the end of the day, I think...
Bro, this is not Football Manager. Like, they're people.
Dre, let me tell you why I disagree with that, especially this season. Okay. We have five subs now. Five.
And Klopp wanted it. Klopp wanted five subs.
Klopp wanted this, by the way.
Yeah.
So there's opportunities to give more minutes. We've got 38 games. We can give them like 20 minutes here, 15 minutes here. We couldn't do that last year because it's three. And normally, so I get that. But this season, you can keep people happy because we have five subs. So he could have kept Minamino, and Minamino could have come on in every single game this season.
Yeah, but you guys are talking about stuff that actually doesn't happen. What I'm saying is that... Yeah, Minamino, one second. How long does it take Klopp to make the subs?
No. Okay, this year...
Klopp doesn't play everyone.
No. All right, Jade, think back to Champions League a couple of seasons ago where he was making subs at half-time. Do you remember? Okay. He'd bring on like Champions League regularly. Okay, this season, I don't blame him. But this season, I don't blame him because he had no subs, Jade.
He's got no subs.
The rest has been bad. He's had no subs. So what can he do?
But I'm not talking about one game. I'm saying on the normal, how many times in our group chat have we put subs now? And it never happens.
No, but what Ellie is saying is that normally you don't have the option of five subs. He is
even when he has had the option. Bro, no, come on now, Cass. Even you would.
Cass,
has there not been times that we've had a stacked bench?
Yeah, I agree.
And he hasn't made any bench. No, come on. We've had the difference.
Champions League, he changes. He does, man. He changes. Yeah, when he has five subs, he uses them, bro.
I don't care about the Champions League now. I'm talking about. He does not. He has not always used them. Sometimes he leaves them on the bench. So that leads to them being like, I'm not playing it. I want to go.
But Dre, the reason he gave in the league for not making the subs is that his argument for not making subs in the league with three subs is that he said he can only really make one And then he, because if anyone get, because we get injured, right?
Yeah.
If we have an injury or anything happens, I can't change it. So he says he has to keep him in reserve. So that's his argument for not making.
Yeah, I agree with Ellie. I agree. One of the reasons he doesn't make as many subs as we would like him to, or as other managers would, is because we've got too many sick notes. You ain't going to rely on Milner not breaking down. How many times have you seen Thiago start a game and not finish it? How many times have you seen Naby do that? How many times have you seen various players break down in our team? I've seen Robertson hobble off or whoever. We've got too many sick notes to be able to say, oh, yeah, let's make all five subs now and they'll finish the game. We can't rely on that.
Agreed. So, quickly, before we move on to the next lineup, I just want to ask you, because this has come up this week and we haven't really touched on it, is this high line. Like, again, we've got caught again and we haven't spoken about the Rashford goal at all. And that's happened in the Palace game. it happened in the Fulham game. It's happened...
This has been going on for a long time.
The high line we've complained about before. I think, to be honest, I think in this game, it was the most excusable because we were chasing the game. We were behind. In the other games, it's where it's a bit more difficult to defend it. Well, borderline. But
it was offside.
You can't argue the new rules.
Yeah, we're giving them the advantage. Yeah, it's fine. It is a problem, though. Like I said, I'm defending it a little bit against Man United, but it is a problem. And I just think, this is where Gomez maybe does fall down a little bit compared to Konate as well. That I just think Konate probably is a bit more aware and a bit more mobile. They're both very quick, but I just think Konate is maybe a bit more aware of that situation. I mean, I think Konate's got issues as well. Though I don't think he's particularly. I think he's a bit rash compared to Gomez. If I'm going to defend Gomez a bit,
you can't defend the results, man. Because at the end of the day, is that. But you're forgetting how
did
we concede one of the least amount of goals?
No, but you're forgetting how rash he was the first few games when he came in.
You're going back into stuff that is like irrelevant. At the end of the day, when a player comes in from a different country to a new team, it takes time to bed in.
Gomez,
no one was getting past. No, he was Gandalf.
No. But for Gomez, I've said this before, as much as I rate him, he needs two or three games to get into it. So if you're going to give Konate the excuse of like, he needs time to bed in the new league, whatever, then I'm going to give Gomez the excuse and say, look, the guy has always been a sort of player that needs a few games to get used to that relationship. The fault is more with Klopp for not playing him earlier and getting him bedded in. But
Matip is ahead of him.
Matip's also injury prone as well. Anyway, that's a separate issue. But yeah, in terms of the high line has been an issue. We've picked it out before, but
yeah,
I think that's just the way we're going to play with him. So we have to get the personnel to fit that high line. We're not going to change the high line. So I think the midfielder that we get in for starters has to be someone who's going to be able to deal with that high line, be able to track back, be able to defend that.
But we have to say, and the reason I'm not blaming that high line in the slightest in the Man U one, it's not the Highline's fault, is Hendo spammed the control in the middle of the field. It wasn't even their attack.
That's true. You know?
So it wasn't like we were caught like, there was no danger at that time. We were going to have the ball. So the course to defenders were up. And then suddenly the counterattack was on, bam, through. And you can't legislate. That's the reason we do the high press, because it's the best form of attack. Because
I'll tell you what I would like from Klopp especially, is just some variation in tactics, just to be able to deal with different situations. We haven't got the personnel for that. I get that, but just like even today, we're saying that, maybe we don't play three at the front. We will, because there's no variation in tactics.
We'll play 4-2-3-1.
Let's get on to that. Let me ask you, Ellie. Who would be your lineup and formation then for today?
Yeah, so I think we'll drop 4-2-3-1. I think he's got no choice, to be honest, because of how the players play. I think he'll go for, obviously, Alisson in goal. I think it'll still be, is Matip back?
Matip's not back, I don't think.
I don't know if he's fit. I think Klopp might go for just the trusted Van Dijk Matip partnership.
I don't think Matip's fit.
Matip's not fit, I don't think.
No, that's wrong if he does that. If Matip was fit, Gomez should be starting.
Okay, but whatever. I I'm happy with either, actually, with his Gomez. I've got no problem with Gomez. And then, right, I would love left back. I'd love Tsimikas to start. I would love that. But he's so loyal, but I would love Tsimikas to start. And Trent, we've got no option at the side at the moment, so Trent plays. In midfield for me, I'd go double six of Fabinho and Hendo, side by side, double six, right? And then the three would be Diaz, and then in the middle, Carvalho, And then on the right, I'd go Elliot, right? And then in the middle of centre forward, I'd go Salah. Because the only player that can really play right for us, apart from Salah, is Elliot. Everyone else looks dead there. Carvalho's like a Coutinho replacement, regen, very similar, number 10. So I'd have him in the hole behind Salah, because I think he could do a lot of good stuff there. And then, obviously, Diaz on the left, is again, it's our only option really there. So I think that's it. And then Firmino on the bench, because I just think it's time to try something else. And I mean, I respect, I love Firmino, everything he's done for us, but it didn't really work the way we were playing. So I think it's time to try something else.
I don't think we should forget that Firmino was brilliant second half of last season, though, when he came back from injury.
Yeah, he was.
So I also think Firmino needs better midfielder. So we talk about how everything's just not linking. I don't think we should be too judged to hate on Firmino. I think he's nearing his end of his time, to be fair. But I don't think we should be too harsh on Firmino because
I read that we're offering Firmino to PSG to get Peredes in from them.
Oh, wow. Peredes is 28 years old.
He's 26. So, yeah, 27, 28, yeah.
Wow, so that ain't happening. They're not going to do that. I think they did that
for Thiago. Why aren't they going to do that for
Peredes? Yeah, but Thiago's a different... Like, wasn't he a free agent? He didn't have to pay for
him. No, he's 20. We 20 million, 25 million, 20, I think.
28,
oh, 28. Like, I mean, Thiago's one of those players that you just have to pull the trigger on because he's like world class. I think that if you're looking at... sorry to go into transfers, but I think you're looking at... This Bellingham thing may be happening because Keita may be a part of that. No, but if you look at it, when there's time, all right, or so Keita's definitely going. I don't think he's injury. I think that he just wants, they want to make sure that they protect him so he's fit and ready, passes the physical test so he can go. And then, with that, it'll be a part exchange deal. So that's why I think the Bellingham thing may have legs.
Part exchange? How much are we going to get off Bellingham for Naby Keita?
No. But I think with that, it's not even the price. It's the fact they need a midfielder, bro. He's got good kudos in Germany. He's still highly regarded.
I think he's part of the deal. Whatever's going on,
he's part of the deal. $110 million for Bellingham, and you throw in Naby Keita, you pay us $120 million.
I'm not going to be disrespectful to Naby, but I think it's time to go. I think Naby's been very, very good, but I think it's just time organically for him and for Liverpool to go, because in the days that he gets injured way too much, he's not reliable for us. We need people that are actually going to be able to play more times than not, and more times than not, he's sitting watching it just like us. So I think that it's if he's fit and he's available to play for someone else, use him as part of exchange. I think Bellingham things may have legs.
Give me your.
But if I could choose, I would have De Jong out of the two.
Give me your team formation for Bournemouth.
I pretty much what Ellie says. What I'm hoping is that he makes it into a 4-2-3-1. I think that would be good if he could actually change the. I mean, why do we not do that anymore? It doesn't make any sense. We should be playing that. And that's when Keita came in. We was playing a 4-3-2-1. Therefore, if we're going to play Carvalho, I think Carvalho is very, could be good for us. I think he's a very good finisher as well, if you watched him in for Fulham. But I think the club's going to go 4-3-3 again, and he's going to play Bobby. Yeah.
I think
exact team you're going to get. That's what you're getting.
I think he's going to play 4-3-3, what I want and I hope. So this is probably more hope than reality. I'm doing a Dre. But I would play 4-3-3 and I'll put Salah down the middle. I would play Carvalho in one of the wing positions with Diaz. And I would play midfield of Firmino, Henderson, and we're light.
Do you drop Elliot? Actually.
I would drop Elliot, but who else would come in? Milner then, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're your part to blame when we go and draw against Bournemouth or lose.
But you can't play Elliot and Carvalho together. They're just too lightweight.
He's going to go again with the same exact team.
You can with the double six though, because the double six means two midfielders.
But he won't do that. I'd be very surprised if he plays both of them. I'm not as sold on Elliot as Dre is.
I don't think Elliot needs to play if Hendo's got Fabinho behind him.
I think Elliot should play again.
I think Carvalho should start. I think I'd play Carvalho starting.
Where?
I would in midfield. I'd potentially
play Bobby. I'd play Bobby, I think.
But then you've got two people doing the same job. Because Bobby drops deep, Carvalho is a 10. So therefore, we're going to have the same problem. When a cross comes in, or if Salah shoots, there's no one to tap it in. So Carvalho is good at doing that, but you need to, if anything, if you're going to do that, if you're going to drop Harvey out, then play Carvalho on the left-hand side and play Diaz on the right and between the right and the...
To be fair, I'd be happy with Carvalho and Elliot playing, to be fair. I think if we're playing Fabinho and Hendo, I think Fabinho does give you that cover. I think Hendo will hopefully be better with Fabinho on. And I would start Tsimikas over Robbo.
Trent needs cover. Bottom line. So he needs Hendo and Fab to play. Because Trent, our best attacking source is Trent. And we need him to get back into form. He can't defend and attack at the same time.
Trent, is that a Liverpool chair, by the way?
Yeah.
No way. He's got a Liverpool chair. Yes, mate. Red or dead, he took that off the heart, man.
He's been hiding it in this season. I bet it would have been out if we would started well, but now it's
no. If you look behind your chair, it's got City on it.
He's hiding with his big head. City loyalist. Yeah.
Wait. With the risk of starting something, let me ask you score predictions. So Bournemouth. I'm gonna start with Cat this time.
Right. So. Just again to be clear, no one got it right last week.
Let me give
that includes you know.
Actually, because you and Maria are in the lead. So
who?
How?
Because you get if you predict the wrong way score by two, so if we win, if we predict win and we lose, or if you predict lose and we win, you get a minus point. Whereas casting get a minus if you predicted a draw. So the standings are Ellie.
Cast predicted we lose.
No, true. Ellie, Dre and me are on minus one. And Maria and Cass, who both predicted draws, are on 0 points.
But they've got that system. All right, go on. That's fine. I'll go.
No, we need, like I said, we need some calibration for Ellie's 5-0 should be punished.
He changed it before the whistle. As long as you change it before the whistle, it doesn't count.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Look, I do think we're going to win today. Hopefully a bit of a reaction at home against Bournemouth. If we lose against Bournemouth, then I'm already at panic level 9. If we lose against Bournemouth, it's 10. And I want to see Dre running around with like hands in the air crying, because that is where we're at if we lose to Bournemouth. So I will go with a 2-0. Salah will get one. And I'm actually hoping Carvalho plays and gets the other one. 2-0, I said. Yeah, 2-0.
Go on, Ellie. Give us some optimism.
4-0, Liverpool win.
Yeah. Boom.
4-0.
Yeah. My caveat is as long as he doesn't start Hendo and Milner. If he starts those two, then I'm going for 2-0 as well.
you can change it if he changes the lineup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can. All right, I'll see the lineup, but I'm still going 2-0.
I'm going 2-0.
Stop copying my move. This is what's going to happen.
I'm going 2-0. In fact, I'm going 1-0. I'm going 1-0. No, I'm going 2-0. I'm going 2-0. And Salah seems to... It'll be Salah, and I keep on saying it. If he does play Carvalho, it will be Carvalho who gets a second.
All right.
I think Diaz scores again for me. I think Diaz gets a brace today.
I'm going to keep on being on Diaz's backside, because as soon as I start to join the fan club like you lot, then he plays rubbish. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be on his backside, because you guys... especially Cass, is giving him some easy pass when I'm actually seeing a lot of trickery, no productivity. That's it.
I proved you wrong.
When's he scoring? Where's the goals?
Huh? No, but I agree. Marco
has to do it.
I was the first one that said
I want to hear you next week. If he doesn't score today, if he doesn't score today, I want you on his case. The same way that you're on Naby's case. I want you on his case.
There's difference. There's levels. There's levels.
No, because even when Naby plays, you're still on his backside when he doesn't score.
Nine times out of ten, he'll get injured in that game.
And Naby in the same system, was very productive and scoring.
We're not getting on to Naby again.
I haven't seen...
All I've seen from Diaz is running around, falling down, and I haven't seen what I saw in Porto. So I would like to see that.
Come on,
I want to see it.
There's times
I see it from Diaz. I see it from the players that City have bought.
Yeah.
Like they come in and it's flawless. It's like it's the same league.
Yeah. I'm gonna that's see oil money. That's oil money, isn't it? You said it's oil money. We can't
that's nothing to do with that. That's the player.
We can't compete. We can't
that's
compete.
The player. You once again you better duck away.
That's the manager.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. If you guys are actually serious football fans, you'd actually know. You'd be able to see the
We're
difference.
Pop
and that. No, but that's but the problem is
he's gonna, he's gonna crash.
No, but the problem is that we have a manager at the moment who's too loyal to the players, and that's part of the problem. He's too loyal. He's like Milner should not be playing. Milner should have been. Thank you. Bye. But he's still playing.
Milner should have gone. I agree. But yeah, Milner I mean, Klopp's to blame. Suki, what's your score prediction?
I'm going 3-0. I think Salah will score. I think Carvalho will score. And I'm giving Diaz a goal as well.
Let's see.
Watch. And I think my fourth goal scorer was Carvalho, by the way. Diaz, Brace, Salah won, Carvalho.
See, Dre, you can blame these two. Don't blame me. These two are the ones that are saying that Diaz...
No, because you're on Naby's backside. So therefore, you have to have the same energy for all the players. Yeah, you can't just pick one. I care about the badge. I don't care who plays. I don't give a damn if it's the bloody tea lady who scores the goals. As long as we win, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but where you're being a hypocrite is that you keep on your on only Naby. So therefore,
because we've all complained about the midfield and he's a midfielder.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm with you when it comes to him not playing because that's bloody useless and his money, a week's wages gone down the drain. Because he's not playing yet again. When he does play, he's effective. Yeah, but he's effective when he plays. Doesn't play enough. So the problem is that when he does play,
you ain't going to cut this, Suki, no.
Yeah, when he does play, because I've got you on the ropes now. When he does play, you don't support it. You're like, whatever he does, if he makes a missed pass, whatever.
No, but you're picking moments. You're picking moments when the whole team has played well and saying he's the reason we played well. I think it's
if he plays well, if we win, I don't care what happens. You know, it's a team performance.
No, but this.
But when we win,
when we
win, you still are on Naby's ass.
No, no, but you've kind of right in that when we win, that shouldn't be the end of it. Like if there's performance, the performance does matter. I've said that before. And if we win 1-0 and we're not playing well and we win the next one 1-0, it's going to lead to a fall at some point. And that's what's happened now. We were winning, like you said, we went on that great run at the end of last season, but we weren't playing well. We were drawing games. We were going behind. In how many games have we gone behind first? That's 7 in a row now.
Seven.
Yeah, these things add up. I think you've just answered my own question there, basically saying that performance does matter. It's not just about the result. Performance does matter.
Performance matters, but it's when you're not performing well, result is obviously you need to get the win. And that's what champions do. You can't perform well throughout the season. But yeah, you're right. When you're doing things like set conceding first, 7 games in a row, it's going to catch up with you at one point and there is going to be a fall. And ours has been obvious. It's from the lack of transfers. But look, we finally had Klopp come in this week and say we finally had Klopp come in and say and try and put some of the blame to FSG, and this is what we're calling out for if that was the case. So look, I think we'll get somebody by the end of the transfer.
Loaded.
how long have we got before the end of the transfer window?
A few days, isn't it? It's the end of the month, isn't it? So it's like 4 days.
Yeah, midweek. So we'll know by then. Probably next time
we'll know by the next recording. So either bad news.
We should have a signing by then. We should.
Okay. Last one, everyone call who we sign. Who do we sign? Midfield.
Yes.
Everyone call one name. One name. Go on. Quick. Suki.
Tielemans. I'm going Tielemans.
Okay. Cast Tielemans. Yeah. Dre.
Yeah. I probably would agree now. Yeah. I would like De Jong though, but I think it'll be Tielemans. Because that hasn't gone through with Arsenal yet, so.
It is Tielemans, but I'd take De Jong.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think we get De Jong.
Mm.
No, because if we're going to pull the trigger on Tielemans, we could have done that long time. I think he wants quality. I think that's the kind of level we're looking at. Look at Nunes signing. Quality. I think from now on, we players we bring in, they're tired of all the sick notes. They're tired of the mid-level, average-y kind of, you know, gamble type players. They're going quality on that.
Hold on a second. No, you're not anointing Nunes as some success, and
he hasn't actually.
Let's pump the brakes. Let's punt the brakes. One second, Suki. One second. You need to give everyone the same energy that Cass gives. What's it called?
I give all the players the same energy, but
same energy for every single one of them.
No, players deserve a.
Only person who gets a pass is Salah.
No,
Salah,
come on. Players
Van Dijk,
when they come into the team.
And Alisson gets a pass with me because they've got serious credit. And Hendo gets credit with me. And
no,
Bobby.
No, not the last one. Not the last one.
Of course, Hendo. For Hendo. 20 million. 20 million from 11 years ago. That's one of the signings of all time, that.
Hendo's a brilliant captain. I love Hendo. Right.
But all the rest of you lot anointing bloody Luis Diaz a king, and he's only scored one goal. I want to see goals. Goals. I don't want to hear, like, oh, he's not in here to score goals. That means we've got two people up front who's not here to score goals, him and Bobby. Yo, you lot keep on giving people passes. I'm here to be on your ass.
Alisson is there to prevent goals going in. We've conceded five.
You leave Alisson alone.
See, you don't want to talk about that, do you?
Leave him alone.
I think if we start going through the whole team, we're going to pick holes in Dre's story.
Yeah, so I think we should call it. Right. Let's hope this time next week we're cheering a transfer and our first win of the season.
Two wins. We got a midweek game. Two wins.
What game we got midweek? We ain't got no.
Yeah, we're playing on Thursday. We're playing on Thursday. Who? I don't know who we're playing. There's a midweek.
Is it EFL Derby? Is it the EFL Cup?
Is it Newcastle?
Oh, who cares about that?
Oh, it's a big game. It's Premier League. It's Premier League.
Oh. It's Newcastle then. No, I don't have that. I've got Newcastle.
What's the game midweek?
No, some because it's a bank holiday. We don't even know the games. Hang on, I'm going to bring it up now.
Newcastle's our next Premier League game after Bournemouth.
Wednesday. There you go. We're playing on Wednesday, Newcastle.
That's not a good time.
That is not a good time. There you go.
Right, we've got to do predictions for that because we ain't going to cover it.
Well, that's Thursday. Are we going to record before Thursday?
Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
It's Thursday, bro. It's Thursday.
It's Wednesday.
But that's Wednesday. The 30th.
Give the predictions for Newcastle.
All right, okay. Just in case, we hopefully will record before then, but just in case, here's my prediction for Newcastle. Are we home or away?
Home. 8 o'clock.
I will say 2-2 draw.
I'm going to say 3-1 Liverpool.
3-1?
I'm going to say 3-1 Liverpool as well. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
I'm going 2-1 because Sam Maximum is ridiculous.
I'm going 3-0.
You're going to stop Sam Maximum? Like, have you not seen him play?
We have so far, bro. He's not done jack against us in the last couple of seasons, so...
This is a complete different season.
They just bought a £60 million striker as well, Isaac. He's really good. He's a baller.
Amazing.
Has that actually gone through?
It's gone through. Yeah. I've seen him in the show.
2-1. Amazing. 2-1 for sure. 2-1.
All right, cool. So let's hope this time next week we're recording, we'll have two victories and a nice new midfielder that we're all happy about. But let's hope some wins first. Let's hope.
Yes, big win today.
And hopefully we'll have Maria back with us next week.
That's right.
She's injured. That's another injury. She's new nabby. New nabby.
And on that note, have a good one, guys.
Thank you.